All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly episode, us on our bullshit platform. We're our big shill mics. This is episode 280. 280, Chris.
280.
Format is simple. Release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one. All new shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private bullshit platform. Apart from the live shows we do sometimes in a week, we've done a full run of live shows for the last 3 weeks. I think we'll be having a breather from live shows on YouTube for a while. They do cause a little bit more work for me, but there you go. Anyway. So you can always watch our podcast at sheepfarm.co.uk. So don't rely on YouTube. Go to sheepfarm.co.uk. If you are a member, you get the full podcast, which is 2 hours plus normally. And that's just the intro. We also put part one on Podomatic that distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Apple. Please subscribe to the website for all email notifications for new shows and live events, which we'll talk about in a minute. Join us on Instagram or email us at sheepinfo@sheepfarm.co.uk. You can see Chris's gaping gobs on Etsy or the Sheep Farm merch at sheepfarm.co.uk as well. Yeah, if you've got any Sheep Farm merch, have you got any new t-shirts lined up, Chris?
No, I should do some, actually, shouldn't I? I've done a Sheep Farm Astray. Lidded Astray, so you could use it as a content. I should have had it here. We're not doing video. Are we doing video?
No, not today, but next week, bring it in and we'll show the people.
Yeah, I should have it in my shop this weekend or next weekend.
Right.
It looks quite nice. Right. I've got badges on there and bottle openers and stuff.
Not live ones. When we say badges, it means actual things you stick on, like a scout badge. Yeah. A sheriff's badge.
Like these things here.
You can't see them, Chris. We're not doing
video. Oh, you're doing video.
Yeah. We've got faces for radio.
Yeah.
Thanks for buying supplements from Health Bunker. Remember to use the promo code. There's some new products out. Natto Kinase. People were asking me about that. And Berberine. They're good for getting rid of blood clots. You can do your own research on it. Just look it up. Berberine's also good for glucose support and weight loss, and all sorts of other stuff. And so is Natto Kinase, is good for your digestive system and lots of other stuff as well, your microbiome. But especially, it's good for breaking down blood clots. I've been asked many times if there are supplements for breaking down the blood clots from the old 3-dart finish. And they've done a lot of surveys on these products. There's another product, actually. I was actually going to call it amyloid blood clot breakdown, but I thought it were a bit too close too to the much. Bone. It's I've called it vascular support instead, which is a little bit more.
It's a bit on the nose, that one, fine.
Yeah, yeah. but vascular support, and that's got glutathione in it and N-acetylcysteine, a special kind of N-acetylcysteine, and a few other stuff. And all these things help to break down blood clots, not just in the arm speared, but also as we get older. Our blood's not as thin as we'd like it to be, hence why they end up putting people on blood thinners and statins and all sorts of other nonsense when we get older. These things, if do your own research, look it up. It's easy to find, is that research on that, is on Natto Kinase, and especially Berberine and CoQ10. All these things are there online. It'll literally take you 5 minutes to show yourselves that these things have been proven to work. And the Natto Kinase we use is a patented version of, and they're all plant-based as well. There's no, it's all, not saying just because they're vegan, but they're all non-GMO, etc. So anyway, there you go. I'm going to send
you just said the classic conspiracy line, do your own research.
Well, yeah, it is. But I think with stuff like that, don't believe me, do your own research on it.
Yeah.
Try it out. And no doubt some people will be going back to the doctor at some point to have some blood checks and stuff like that. You never know. They might come back and say, where have all them things gone that you had? Or how come your angina's might have cleared up a little bit better or working a little bit better? When people have got illnesses like that, they realize that things are changing in the system, you know, because it's been with them. We had a lady, I think I mentioned last week, we had a lady come in to the clinic with rheumatoid arthritis last Thursday. She came back in. And she said the treatment lasted just under 2 weeks. And she had all relief, even from, you know, putting her clothes on or something like that. She couldn't clench her hands enough to pull her jeans up at times. These are huge things. That was ozone treatment, by the way, not
When things like that happen, though, they happen so gradually. You don't realise how bad it's got, do you?
No. No, it sneaks up on you over time. Then all of a sudden you can't do what you used to do. But anyway. We've got a live show coming up, Chris, on May the 16th.
Mm.
Yeah, Saturday, May the 16th. Mark Devlin, John Hamer. Is it 2 weeks away?
Two weeks on Saturday.
Is it 2 weeks on Saturday? Jesus, I need to start writing a presentation. I'm going to do a presentation, parts of the book, I think.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good to do a recap, not just for the book, but just more some of the information that's in there. I think it'd be a good one to do. So I'll pull, 10 or 20 things out and have some video and whatnot on there. Talking of the book, Amazon have unblocked my book now for some reason. They didn't tell me why it were blocked or why it had been unblocked. Normal work, YouTube-y type. Nonsense where you don't get a full answer or a full reason. They just do it and then don't do it. It's a strange set of affairs, that, isn't it? How the times have changed where you'd actually be able to have a grown-up conversation with somebody where they'd say, well, we're not doing that because we don't like you. All right, that's fine. At least you're honest, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's because you've gone against community guidelines.
Yeah.
Or
it's worse. You'd rather just called you a twat, wouldn't you? And
twat.
Because you think your book's shit. You'd rather
I'd rather them call me a wog.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would. I'd prefer to say, we don't want you in here because you're a wog.
Because they're playing games. It's like, with someone who plays mind games, you'd rather have a slap round first, wouldn't you, from a parent than them playing mind games with you.
Same thing.
Let me just talk about this quickly, Fire. I'll keep it brief. It's just it does interact with what you said about do your own research. My nipper went to the dentist a while ago, and she basically had a small filling put in one of her baby teeth. Right? She's got a soft back. I've always had trouble with my back, so you did as well, didn't you? Anyway, then she woke up in the middle of the night, and Lou took her to an emergency dentist. Right? She took to this emergency dentist, and she came back, she had an x-ray, and this dentist said the other dentist had put a filling over her rotten tooth, her mouth was full of decay, she might need to have her teeth out. Stressed the fuck out of Lou, you know, because she's just concerned mum. Stressed her out.
It's not that difficult, all this is
stuff.
It?
No, it's not that difficult, but told her all this stuff. Even said that she might have to go to London to have this extraction done, and loads of her teeth were decaying and da-da-da, charged her for this. Then in between, anyway, when she was telling me this, I thought this, and I looked at the x-ray, by the way, I'm not a dentist, obviously, but you can see what they're trying to point out. And I don't know, it just left a really bad taste in my mouth. And I thought, this woman just sounded like a prick to me. You know, when you just get a feeling someone's a prick. So anyway, I booked her into a private dentist around here, because obviously she'd said the other dentist had screwed her tooth up, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And in between, we booked her into this other private dentist around the corner from here. That same emergency dentist has sent a plan that cost about £600 to have loads of her teeth out. All this horrible stuff, stressful. Anyway, I took it to the private dentist. Nothing wrong at all. So my suspicion was right. So there's nothing wrong other than she's got new teeth growing, and because she'd had this little minor filling put in, it agitated the teeth growing. So she said, you might need to have one out to let room for this other tooth to grow. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So there's not nothing
milk
wrong.
Milk teeth anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, the milk teeth, yeah. So just normal stuff. But this other woman put this fucking... And I just think...
Didn't she say as well that they use fluoride toothpaste?
Yes, that one did, yeah. Yeah. The private dentist didn't, by the way.
Yeah.
Never mentioned it, since the teeth are fine.
Yeah.
But she put up... But so then, is it financial?
But these people are trained exactly the same. I mean, I don't want to go on too much. Maybe we'll take it into part two of this. But
just hang on a minute, though. But what I mean is that was either financial or it was the woman was just a prick.
Right? I'd say both.
Just working on a Sunday, pissed off and a prick. But you'd like to think you didn't have to second-guess a dentist, wouldn't you? You'd like to think so. But I've told a few people this, and I've heard the same story, by the way, and some people have gone ahead and had a lot of teeth pulled out. Anyway, the point was, I said to Sis after, I said, the thing is, right, you've got to go to these places to have these checkups and stuff. Fair enough. But just because they're wearing a white coat and they're described as a dentist doesn't mean they're the fucking be-all and end-all of everything.
No. Maybe you didn't swear at her.
No. But what a lesson for her, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And also that other one, she tried to throw another dentist under the bus saying he'd done it wrong, which is also horrible. But, you know, I said to Lou, some people, something I've learned in the last, not even that long, 10 years in my eternal optimism, is some people are just CUNTs, aren't they? That's
yes.
It. That's it. Yeah. Oh, no, but, you know, you make excuses. Oh, they've had a long... No, some people are pricks. They were born pricks. Yeah. They're probably baby pricks, teenage pricks, and they're going to be old pricks. Sorry, yes. I'm getting kind of annoyed, man, if you can hear that in my voice. Anyway, sorry.
I could go on about dentists for a long time. Maybe we should do in part two.
Well, it causes three days of stress, that's all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But just to finish off, people were asking me about the hardback. That's on Amazon as well, if you want to order that. And you can order international from Amazon. I don't like using Amazon. Go to traitors-2020.com. If you want to order a book for UK, we can even send them international, but I think you get them better and for less money if you order them on Amazon, to be honest with you. International stuff.
International,
they print them in that country, so they don't send them out from here. They print them in that country. People are asking me to sign them, but I'm not sending them out. They're in our office and my son's sending them out, so it's rather difficult for me to go up and down.
Get Jacob to sign them.
Yeah, get Jacob to sign them. I've got to teach him to write first.
Just put a thumbprint on him or something.
Yeah, an aspirin. So anyway, part one of this podcast was recorded a couple of weeks ago. I did a podcast with Matt Bajerski, released on his channel. So that's part one. And if you're going to join us in part two, it's just me and Chris. So we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week. But
ciao. Bye.
Oh, we're live. Welcome, everybody, to Matt Bajerski Podcast. Today, we've got a beautiful guest, the one and only Dominic Waterson. Welcome, Dominic.
I don't know about beautiful.
You are.
We're a bit long in the tooth.
No, you're a beautiful soul. You are, and you're doing some great work. It just keeps getting better and better. And for all the people who are going to be watching this on playback, they're probably like, I don't think I know who Dom is, because I've got quite a few new clients who are coming on these past few weeks. So let's just start by, I think a good place to start, because we're going to talk about your new book, but let's start by saying, how did it begin on your path to the journey of thinking about creating this book? When did it first start in your head?
Well, I actually always wanted to write a book. Like yourself, we sort of book the trend quite a lot, don't we? Where at school I was told I'd be an underachiever, I'd be probably locked up in prison or what have you. And I always wanted to write a book because I always read, even though I didn't like school. So it's probably started when I was a kid wanting to write a book. It's only taken me 40 years. But anyway, during the 2020, something happened in 2020, Mark. I don't know if you can remember.
No, forgot. In fact, that's a great point, Dom. That's a great point, because what I'd written down here is I wrote something down about that. Just let me just find it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But what I got from your book, and I wanted to say thank you for, is for reminding everybody how easy it is that the 90% have forgot. You've brought it back again, mate. You've brought it back by this book. I've been reading it. You've brought it back. You're bringing it all back again. And it needs to be brought back again, because I think darkness relies on the 90% to forget and move
silence.
On.
Relies on silence and fear of people not speaking out. And I suppose what I want, you know me well, and our Chris, we started doing podcasts and presentations in 2020 and 2021 about some of the characters in this book. So each person in this book had its own sort of podcast in 2020, 2021. I had like a 2-hour presentation. Apart from Boris Johnson, who had 4 episodes, he had nearly 15 hours or something like that presentation. Oh, yeah. And so I had this 15.
You were up to 12 hours.
Yeah, it was some ridiculous.
You're up to 12 hours. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I know. Mad. And there were more we could have done, but I left it and jumped on to look at someone else. So I thought, I need to document this, and it needs to be in somewhere where people can refer back to what actually went on and all their links that you can't get into a podcast or a presentation, or it'd take you, I don't know, 25 hours to do one. If you think about each chapter being a presentation, you can imagine each chapter being 2 hours long, an hour and a half, 2 hours long, you know?
Yes, exactly. So it basically started back then when all the quackery started. And,
yes.
And you started basically writing everything down somewhere, putting it all down did you know deep down that you, like, I'm going to use this one day? Because I did the same thing in the spiritual journey, but I didn't realize I was going to write a book till it actually, wow, I've got all the information, I can write a book.
Well, the first thing I actually wanted to do prior to doing podcasts or presentations online and doing live presentations at times was write a book. So I've actually done it the opposite way around to where I wanted to do initially. The first thing I wanted to do was write a book. Didn't have that much subject matter to write on. But after 3 or 4 years, you've got all this backlog. I mean, I've got ideas for about several books that I could write now with all the research I've been doing. But this is volume one, probably. The Plandemic Politicians. I've also got another book's worth for the medical experts and media that was pushing the agenda back in 2020 as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us what the title of the book is, Dom.
It's called Traitors, The Plandemic Politicians. I think it's summed them up pretty well.
It's a great title. It's a great title. What I recognize when I was reading it is that you're a great observer.
Well, you don't. I mean, it's all right. You can say that, but I don't know if I am or not. I just do what I do. You know, I don't.
No, you're a great observer. You see, some people just see one dimension. I think you see in many. I think you see through not just the bullshit, but you see the bigger picture, and you see by what I've read thus far, you see a lot. And I think that gives you the focus to then go for the right people to, you know, spend your time and effort on. So for the first part is about Boris Johnson, right? That's the first kind of chapter or part one, I think it's called. So tell us, like, just give us a little bit of a breakdown on Boris Johnson and how he started. How far back does it go, Dom?
Well, I mean, from a bloodline perspective, very far back, but we'll start with his father, Stanley. In the early 60s, Stanley took his wife, who was at, I think she was at Oxford at the time, and they went, she was pregnant, and they went over to the US, where he got a job working directly for John D. Rockefeller III.
Wow.
On population control. So he was right in the mix with Planned Parenthood in the early days and all the other stuff. And Boris was born in the US, I think in New York, if I remember, serves me right. But yeah, so then they came back to the US, from the US to the UK. And then they actually went back again and they were working in Washington. So they were sort of yo-yoing between the US and England. And they were working in again, they were working on population control. That was his. He was also, in his own biography, autobiography, Stanley Johnson, he was approached by MI6 to the point where he even had a special suit made with a gun so that could fit a revolver or a gun in the inside pocket. But he said he never joined.
James Bond type character.
Well, whether he actually joined, he says he never joined. But to get to the point where you're having a gun, a measurement for a suit, wouldn't an agent say that they've joined?
How many people do that?
Yeah, not many. nobody I know anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So that doesn't make any sense straight away. So the probability is that he did.
Well, he certainly did everything that you'd expect an agent for the state to do. Because he eventually came back from the US and then moved to Brussels, where he was again working for, I think, the European Council or the European on population control. But he was working in Brussels, where Boris went to school there. I suppose you'd call it a school. It was the European School where a lot of famous politicians actually went there, and that the school is Ursula von der Leyen went there.
Wow.
So the ilk of these people that went to that particular school, I do write a bit about it in the book. You know, some people who made set up think tanks and things like that went there.
It's a big club.
It's a big club, and hit you around the head with it. We're not in it.
Just out of interest, Boris Johnson's dad, when you mentioned that he was into this, can you explain what it actually means to the lame? You know, what his job was and what he actually did. Did you do any research on what he did? What does it even mean?
What, population control?
Well, what does that even mean?
Well, I think it was called the Population Control Council. But just off the top of my head, obviously a lot of information in that book. So what they're actually doing is studying what population should or shouldn't be, to be quite general. For instance, Stanley was interviewed 10 years ago by The Guardian, I think it was The Guardian, in a video interview, which I've played on our channel. It was played in the episodes that we did. And he was asked by the reporter, who I actually go into his background in the book, he's climate change media guy. He's passed away now, I think. And so he's into the whole global climate warming change agenda as well. But he was asking Stanley what the ideal population of Britain would be, or the UK. I can't forget which one he said. And Stanley answered him instantly, said 10 million, 15 at the most.
Wow.
And then his son's in charge of the 2020 operation several years later, pushing something that we know what's happening, to control.
Sounds a bit like Mr. Billy Boy Gates and his father.
Well, he obviously his father was a director under John D. Rockefeller III, exactly the same person, running Planned Parenthood around the world. You tend to find a lot of these operators are operating within the same realm of all these other characters that we speak about.
Sounds very much like a school created for a certain purpose, not like you and I to run the machines, but actually to control the world, and then they're going to ship them out everywhere around the world to do the bidding of the Rockefellers or whoever is in control of the Rockefellers. But yeah, it's interesting how all these dots connect, eh?
These schools, I mean, there's a lot of people there who are just innocent people, go to school, do well, and move on to a job. But it seems like they cherry pick people or talent spot people or tag people who might be of a certain psychology, let's just say, narcissistic tendencies, psychopathic tendencies. It seems that they know who these people are, whether it's via a bloodline they're following or whether it's through trauma that they're giving these people. I mean, one of the things that stood out in this, a lot of the characters went to schools where, well, at the time they were there, there was, let's just say, actions going on from school teachers to children, sexual attacks and things like that, beatings and things. And a lot of these are documented as well. It's not like, Dom just made these up. These are in their own biographies or diaries or blogs or something like that, where they were beaten on a daily basis.
So do you think that might have something to do with that it was a military kind of psyop at the same time? Like there were psychologists in there, there were like the MK Ultra type stuff going on. Do you think there's a lot more going on in them schools back then?
I would say to some of the people, I mean, there's been documentaries made about these things as well. You know, when Boris was being... In 2019, when Boris was put into power, there was a inquiry going on called the Independent Inquiry into Child Abuse, run by Baroness, I forget which one it was at the time, but it was in the newspaper, i.e. the headline saying, Boris's old school teacher accused of sexual blah, blah while he was there. You know, this is a headline while he's prime minister, which I find. No. And same with Tony Blair. Same with quite a few of these people at the same time. Why would they need to put that into the headline while he was prime minister?
Exactly.
And one thing I mentioned throughout, surely if you were in a position of power and you'd been beaten to a pulp in a school, I found no evidence that any of these guys were sexually abused, yeah? But okay. We'll go on to Tony Blair towards the end because it's very interesting. That was really... I actually felt sorry for Tony Blair as a child. I don't feel sorry for him now, obviously, but as a child, he seemed to have been put through... the ringer, so to speak. But Boris Johnson's father, there was teachers there at his school. It's part of this independent inquiry. So it wasn't just Boris Johnson's school. It was his father's school as well that was being, when Stanley was at school. None of these people ever speak about this stuff, ever. And you'd think that all these people, whether it were Michael Gove or people like that, when they're getting to a position of power in Parliament, supposed power, or if they're a journalist, you would think that they would want to write about it or do something about it, bring some law into being that stopped it all happening, maybe, or try to. But I think that's the thing that feeds the underbelly of all of this carnage that we're witnessing now.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. So why did you call it Traitors, the book?
I was messing around with loads of titles. You know, you've written books. You like one week, and then week after, you've written another few chapters, and it moves on somewhere else, so it doesn't mean as much. Or you think you want to use that as the title and blah, blah. I actually wanted to call it Enemies of the State, but it didn't make sense that, because they're not enemies of the state. They're really agents of the state. So you can't call
the puppets.
It that.
The puppets of the state.
Yeah, and...
I don't even think, like, if you class an agent as, somebody smart and intelligent, and like, these guys are fucking dumb. That, like, I wouldn't let them babysit my daughter.
No,
I wouldn't go in business with somebody like that. So they're useful idiots. They're just. Absolutely, but they can speak
useful
well.
Idiots. Yeah, dangerous. They can speak well. They can speak well. Yeah, and for all the fancy words, what do they actually ever do? But
zero. Yeah.
The other things that comes out is these people are mediocre. They're not exceptional people, even though they've been to exceptional schools. They're not. They're actually Tony Blair would have failed his bar exam, for instance. Boris Johnson didn't really get high qualifications. You know, most of these people. Are not that intelligent.
Yeah,
what we class as intelligence, even academically, that I would say that going back to what you were saying about military and MKUltra and stuff like that. So while in Brussels, when Boris Johnson was around 10-year-old, so in the mid-70s, something like that, his mother had a nervous breakdown. His father Stanley broke a nose. It's written about in a book. I'm not speaking out untoward. I forget the name of the book, but she was interviewed by a guy who wrote a book about it. And Stanley's never denied it, never sued anybody for writing it. He broke a nose, and he beat her up several times. So this is the type of environment. So he's getting whacked at school, and his dad's beating his mum up. Okay, what type of person is going to come out of that? He was brought up by a nanny with him and his family at that particular point from the famous nanny school that all the royal family use. I forget the name of it now, but they dress in brown. It's a famous nanny school. It's like it. And he was shipped. Sorry, his mother went to a hospital in England called the Maudsley, which is known to have been part of Britain's arm of MKUltra.
Wow.
Okay. And I do speak about that in here. And Ernst Rudin was one of the guys where they copied his work. He was basically a Nazi psychiatrist.
Wow.
So a lot of this stuff, again, is intertwined with what we've looked into for many years, the mind control type, and she suffered for many years with she had electroconvulsive shock treatment and all sorts of stuff. Did Boris Johnson's wife? In fact, Boris Johnson mother. when it was mother. Yeah, sorry. When Boris Johnson was ill, supposedly in 2020 with the dreaded bat lurgy, he was taken to St. Thomas's Hospital. And St. Thomas's Hospital was another MK Ultra hospital run by Dr. Sargent in the 1950s, 1960s. There's books, I've got books upstairs from that era that tell you about Dr. William Sargent, how he worked with, what was the guy called, Lieutenant Olson, who ended up jumping out of, if you've ever watched a series called Wormwood,
yeah,
Lieutenant Olson was the guy that jumped out the window on LSD, working with Dr. Cameron and basically MK Ultra Project. Well, he was liaison to Dr. Sargent when he came over to England, was Olson.
Right.
Frank Olson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so they worked in several hospitals. And the well, the reason we got into this, a friend of mine and me, Matt Sergiu, we worked out that Jane Asher's father, Richard Asher, was working with William Sargent as well around the early 60s, late 50s as well. So we went out with Paul McCartney, and Paul McCartney was then waking up, asking people where these, if they knew what this song was, he'd woke up with it in his head while he was living with Jane Asher. So, wow. I mean, I know that's a totally different subject, but it is all intertwined with the same characters, whether we like it or not.
Definitely. I think after this book, I think it'll probably make us all realize that it's all closer. It's all connected more than we could ever have imagined. Mm. It's how it feels.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, I mean, I know I didn't even get into any real esoteric type of, you know, spiritual stuff. There was enough information just at this from a surface level and a couple of shovels down, if you like, without getting into the esoteric stuff as well. But we know under the surface, some dark occult stuff was going on, probably at these schools. But that's a totally different subject, and that'd be something else that we could add in, I could add into that if I wanted to. Well, but what I wanted to do with...
Wasn't there a point where they were talking about pigs and stuff like that in the certain...
That was David Cameron, wasn't it? He was meant to... Piggate. Yeah, I've got that
I thought Johnson. I thought Johnson was involved.
Well, they were all part of the Bullingdon Club, weren't they? We're all the Bullingdon Club. Yeah.
So they all had to do a ritual.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something to do with also a pigeon?
Pass. I don't know about that one.
Pigeon up the backside as well.
Quite possibly. There was something like that.
Really sick, dark stuff that these people that are meant to be...
The elites, Mark. Meant to be elite.
They're meant to be there for our higher good. They're meant to be there to take care of the chattel, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well, they are taking care of us, but they're using an electric prong to get us into line.
No, the point... My point is that these people who are meant to be taking care of us actually need... more help than we do.
Mm. Yeah, they do.
They're so messed up.
But what they do, that then, these people in the public eye make it all right for people on our level to behave like that as well. Because people think, again, going to game theory, that is how you behave. You stand on people, you lie, you cheat to get ahead. And that's another reason for the title, because that BBC program that's out called Traitors is about game theory, basically, where they stand on each other, lie to each other to get ahead, and that's called success.
Yeah. it's actually the elite business model, eh? It's actually the system. It's the system. That's how the system works. That's why the ones who get to the top are normally the most heartless,
demonic,
dark, evil, narcissist, psychopath. It's basically made that way. Mm. Whoever created it specifically for that. That's the only way you get to the top.
Well, the system. There's like a theme or an overlay being put on the reality that we live by, and that is the system that we live by, game theory or whatever you want to call it, psychotheory, whatever you want to call it. That to, all of these people, like you're seeing President Trump and people like that, speaking a language that you think, what on earth is he saying? You know,
exactly.
Everybody in the chat and me and you, if we'd was the leader of a country and accidentally bombed a girls' school in Iran and killed 170 children, we'd be beside ourselves. These people just brush it off like it's never happened.
Or they don't have any empathy at all. There's just zilch, nil, void empathy. Could it be that they're just dark souls and actually that is why they're here? That like for you and I, we want to help and make a difference in this world. And what they're here for is to destroy and kill. That's pretty much that simple. That's why it's probably a dream to them whenever they hurt and cause damage and destroy. It's a dream to them. It's like winning a championship. So that's how I see it now. I don't know about anybody else who's listening to this, but it just nothing else makes sense other than that is their energy. That is what they're here to do. That's it.
And then the question is it nature or nurture, I suppose? And so were these people born that way, or were they born that way and then they've nurtured them to be even worse animals, if you like, or demonic entities? Who knows? But certainly when they've been to school and they're documenting and they're talking, they're telling you what's actually happening, but nobody wants to listen, you know? I mean, Boris Johnson says if he spoke out of turn, he was hit with from a ruler to a jockery bat. And I had to look up what a jockery bat is, if I pronounce that right. It's like a small rounders baseball bat type of thing, to a nine-iron golf club and the cane, obviously. And these people at these schools were whacking multiple kids at once. You know, they'd line them all up, get the trousers down, and we know what's going on, you know?
You know what, Dom? Just let me interrupt.
Yeah, go on.
We've all been through it, mate, but we didn't end up in those positions bombing.
And that's what I mean, though, Mark, because there's other kids that have been through that. There's a guy called Alex Renton. He's from quite an aristocratic bloodline, royal bloodline. He was at the same school at the same time, as a few years older than Boris. And he was beaten to a pulp and sexually abused. But he's speaking out and making documentaries about it. He's not exactly Boris Johnson, right? Well, so that tells you that people who are abused aren't all abusers. Right?
So what you're saying, it absolutely confirms everything that a lot of us on here are saying, that you're either born a good soul or you're born a dark soul. That confirms it.
And these rituals don't really, they do matter. They probably make the dark souls even more dark, if that's a possibility. Because there has to be a reason why they're doing these rituals, or they're trying to find others that are probably within that group. Who knows?
Well, a ritual to a good soul is going around having something to eat and, you know, enjoying yourself, having a drink, you're having a cuddle.
Having a chat like we are.
Having love and light and all that. But a dark soul, theirs is about abuse. It's about rape. It's about death.
Murder.
It's about treading on people. It's about hurting everybody. It won't make any difference whether they beat them, whether they rape them. It makes no difference because they're a dark soul anyway. And it doesn't make, like for us, we were like at school thinking, what are we doing here? This feels like a prison camp. This feels like a prison. It was hard for us to be there, you know? So it killed us. I don't think so much to a dark soul that it kills a dark soul. Sorry, I just don't.
No, whether it does or not, it did is produce these people, or maybe it corrals these people. I'll read a section from Boris Johnson's website. By the way, since I started writing this, Boris Johnson's taken his website down.
I bet he has.
And I took a lot of information from his blogs from that.
And I'm wondering why he did that, Dom. Has your book come out publicly?
Now it has, yeah. Yeah.
Where's it at?
Well, I actually put it on Amazon to start with, but they blocked it. Right. Amazon blocked it, and the people that have been helping me publish it and edit it, John Hamer and Shannon Ruin, who obviously published quite a lot of books, they've never had one blocked before. Anyway, it's unblocked now. No reason's been given to me why it was blocked. But being who I am, you know this, you'll feel this. I built my own little website one Saturday. I got books published in a private printer, and I'm doing it myself. So you can get them on off Amazon if you want, or you can buy them from the website. But I'll just read this section out from, this was from BorisJohnson.com. There was a jockery bat for those who forgot their construe. There was a cricket bat for seriously argumentative types. And also, I kid you not, the handle of a 9-iron golf club.
Wow. I never had that at school. I had bad beatings, whips, sticks, but yeah, rulers, but never. But
these are the titles. I don't know if anybody better pick this up. Can you see that headline there? Is it wrong way around?
My screen's too small. Go on, read it.
There, anyway. But these are the headlines that were running up to while Boris Johnson was mayor, was in the cabinet. Boris Johnson, former school head, held on suspicion of historical sex abuse. Wow. Cultural sexual activities at Forest Row School investigated. That's his school. This was in 11th of February 2019. But what I found interesting was that the women or the people that were running the inquiry into this, one of them was a lady called Baroness Butler Sloss, SLOSS, who's the daughter of Cecil Havers, the grandfather of Nigel Havers, the actor. Now, Sir Cecil Havers was a barrister, and he ran the Ripper case. And he basically said, the prostitutes were worthless. And he was the one that were meant to be protecting the victims, okay? Yeah. But he was named by a whistleblower as somebody who was supplied underage boys. So the lady that's running it, her father, during Margaret Thatcher's government, was one of three MPs that was named. So she's running an independent inquiry into child abuse, and her father's been named in a child abuse case.
Yeah, can't make this shit up, can you?
And the other lady, she's called Dame Catherine Wolfe. She was one of Leon Britton's mates. He used to come around for dinner. Leon Britton was given the dossier by Geoffrey Dickens in the early 1980s that got lost or shredded or whatever.
Mm.
So two of the people, Dame and Baroness, that were running it, are linked to people who were part of cases. But that can't happen by accident, Mark. I'm afraid.
All by design. There's definitely a system set up purposely to secure all evil so that it continues. I mean, we know what's going on in Britain right now, and it's world over. I mean, the child trafficking, everything that's going on, and all you hear, you know, whichever country you go to, America, you listen to all these guys, you know, in Congress, it's all bollocks.
Yes.
It's all bollocks.
Yeah.
And people all of it. Just buy into it, say, no, good, they're grilling them.
Can I share videos on here, Mark? I think I can't I? Can I share a video on here?
I don't know, can you?
Shall I try it? What I want to show is that I haven't mentioned it in this book, but it happens at the others in the States and all over. But companies like Palantir that are running this surveillance state technology, the proprietors of that, a guy called Alex Karp, is the same ilk of this population control, whatever you want to call it. And Peter Thiel was part of that. We all know who Peter Thiel is. Peter Thiel once denied being a vampire.
Mm, I know,
how do you deny being a vampire?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Let me see if I can play this. Just have a look at this guy. And when we played it, Mike Williams said, "That's the face of evil," you know, from Sage of Quay.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, this is the new face of evil. That's what I'd say. Technology, right. Face of evil, if it plays. I think you might have to give me, you might have to play it, Mark. You see it down at the bottom there.
As always, we have a lot of individual investors on the line. Is there anything you'd like to say before we end the call?
We're doing it. We're doing it. And I'm sure you're enjoying this as much as I am. Let's not talk to analysts about the burden of being right, our burdens of investing in ontology, our burdens of actually looking at the math, the burden of reading what the rule of 40 is, the burden of being honest about what an enterprise software company is, or the burden of explaining to your friends that you're really happy. Maybe we should just stop talking about it. I'm very happy to have you along for the journey, and you are partners for us. Every Palantirian, we are crushing it. Everyone else who's listening, we are dedicating our company. We have dedicated our company to the service of the West and the United States of America, and we're super proud of the role we play, especially in places we can't talk about. And we love our success in the U.S. and globally. Also, you know, we are doing it in the United Kingdom and many other places. Palantir is here to disrupt and make the institutions we partner with the very best in the world, and when it's necessary, to scare enemies and on occasion kill them. And we hope you're in favor of that. We hope you're enjoying being a partner, and we're really happy and very, very focused on what we're doing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That concludes Q&A for today's call.
What was that? That's the CEO of a multi-hundred-billion-dollar business.
Aren't they all like that, though? Yes. I mean, every one of them are like, they're not human. There's something different, but they're all very much the same, Dom. Mm-hmm. It's like you listen to all of them. They're all the same.
Yeah. I know.
It's almost like they're a breed of something new. Mm-hmm. They're a new breed that's purposely being created to take the place of these so-called, I don't know, the next generation of gurus that the 90% follow and idolize.
Yes. And you're right, idolize as well. That's a hero to somebody. That person there occasionally kill people. I mean, when have you ever heard a CEO of any business say something like that? We occasionally kill people. I mean, normally they'd say, well, what it's used for defense. And you know what it means. It means they're going to use it to harm somebody. But at least they're trying to say it's for the good of people. Even if it's a lie, it's outwardly coming out. And occasionally we kill people.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, Dom, your products, one of your products, somebody dropped dead.
Oh, you're close.
Right? Imagine somebody rubbed some of my oils and they said they've gone blind. One person.
Yeah.
That's me finished. That's me gone, in the sense of I can't live life anymore knowing what I've done. Look at what's happened with a so-called human being that everybody idolizes, that created a car that traps people in there and burns them to death,
yeah,
or runs off the road where the person can't control it and runs people down. Yeah. And this guy is eating pizza on Joe Rogan. Having a lovely time.
You saw the picture of Joe Rogan, didn't you, at the White House the other day?
Oh,
he was stood behind Donald Trump with RFK.
Exactly. No, nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me, mate. I did call it, I think so did everybody else, but you know the 90% will still stand behind him, mate. That's it. No matter what you say.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone. I took a picture and sent it to a few people who I know like him. And this is the world we're living in. We're living in a world, it's not even double standards anymore. You can't even say it's double standards. They're outwardly saying, you listen to, again, there's a guy in here, Nadeem Zahawi, who is the epitome of what you call a dodgy politician. You know, he's a Kurdish of heritage. Yeah. he claims that he came over here as like an illegal alien escaping Saddam Hussein in the late 70s. But his grandfather was the head of the Iraqi Central Bank. His grandfather had his picture and his signature on the Iraqi notes, right?
Okay.
His father set a business up that was helping the Americans when they were destroying Iraq as a supply company, a bit like the Blackwater type companies and Halliburton and things like that, you know? And he's trying to cry the poor tale saying, you know, these are the people that people vote for that say, you know, I'm voting for them. And then when you point it out, I know that this person's out, that they're in shock, a lot of them. But, but then they go and vote for somebody else.
But even that, Dom, is irrelevant because even if they didn't vote, they would still be put in anyway. So argument of us saying you're all idiots voting makes no difference anyway.
I'm more interested in the intention. So that person would, for instance, I know people who are saying, yeah, I'm not voting Tory, I'm not voting Labour, but I'll vote Nigel Farage because he's actually saying something that I like to hear, right?
Yeah, yeah. That just shows how easy it is to get the sheep in the pen, the pen, basically.
Yeah. Well, we saw that every Thursday in 2020 when people were banging pots and pans, didn't we?
We did. When we went outside and watched them and just thought, what fucking planet are we on?
Yeah.
What's going on here? We literally went, I think the 5% who could see what was happening went through their own trauma. I was traumatized PTSD. By all of that.
I also, I mean, we were talking about this the other day on a podcast with Guy Anderson. I found it very enlightening as well. I know it was difficult, but I actually found like I, for the first time probably in my life, that I belonged in somewhere that were outside the average person on the street, if you like.
I felt lonely. Sorry, I felt the opposite.
Everyone had different feelings. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying I was happy. I was concerned for my children. You know, what was going to happen in the future? Yeah, we were all concerned, and it's affected us all. There's no doubt about that. And I'll be the first to say it's affected us. But I also had a huge download, and because of the work you, me, Chris, and other people have been doing on ourselves, we could absorb that download very easily. Mm. It didn't overwhelm me. I know people that woke up and took a lot of information in during that. It caused them major issues in behavior and psychologically. They couldn't handle the download. But that download has ended up here.
For me, it wasn't a download. For me, I actually stood back and saw the bigger picture. So everything that was happening, I could see happening. My issue was that nobody could see it. Only a few. And I was screaming. And then when they started mentioning children, that was it. I just fucking
sent you off
down.
Edge.
I just sent me off the edge because
and these people were those people that wanted to. For instance, Boris Johnson didn't talk about his school or Tony Blair about all the abuse that was there, but was quite willing to pick on people who were questioning the narrative that were going on. Quite willing to victimize them, people.
You know? Anybody who spoke the truth, they wanted to shut them up because truth is light, and they are dark, and they need to keep the dark in the plan. So they are going to attack anybody with any kind of light or truth. And we saw it. It was plain to see. But what shocks me to this day, Dom, I know we're going off from your book.
No, carry on. Shocked, it goes. Yeah.
What shocks me today, Dom, is that people just have just let it all go. It's gone. It's disappeared. You've got your absolute tools that are still on mainstream. The Lemons, the Pierce,
Morgans.
You've got your Maxwell. What's his name? Peter Jordison. All of them guys.
John Maxwell. John Maxwell. Not Maxwell.
No,
Peterson. John Maxwell. Peterson. Yeah.
Exactly. Him and all the rest of them that were on telly saying, you know, you guys should be dead. You guys, you're murderers. You know, that's all disappeared. And they're still in the limelight. They're still talking and people are still listening.
I know.
I can't comprehend.
In any other world, those people would never work on that type of job again, would they?
But then they've been promoted. They're bigger now than they've ever been. The point being is, like, the 90% that I speak of, which I believe are now, are neither of light or dark. They're just beings on this planet,
NPCs.
eating, drinking, sleeping, and working. I think that the system knows this. I think evil knows this, and it knows how to manipulate them. And they also know about the 5%, which are the ones that are the ones who can see through it. I'm not talking about those who are the NPCs who are just repeating the same as the truth is repeating. I'm talking about the ones who can see the bigger picture, because a lot of the times we think, oh, we're awakening everybody, and then they fall for it again.
No,
and then they're arguing with us again.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one. I think if you see it, you see it. You can't make someone see it. And just because Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or someone with millions of followers is saying it now, you've got to accept that is, even if you're not on that, talking about this podcast, you've got to accept that could be an operation to control the narrative. Fringe magnets, as I call them. That's to pull those people in. Not us, because we won't go down there. But to pull those people in to believe a watered-down version of what we discuss. Because that's what they're going to do. When they're lying so much, there has to be an element of truth bleed through it. There has to be. So when you listen to Tucker Carlson, he still goes on, though. They're basically hyper-Christian, aren't they? As well. But anyway, I didn't really want to go down that road.
I was sat with David Icke, and I said to him when I was there, the other month where you went as well. And yeah. I was sat with him and I said to him, isn't it funny that the ones who are still promoted, even though it goes against the left to the right, whatever that bullshit is, it's always that they've either still pushing religion or politics. It's always one or the other. Yeah. So if you, like David, like, it's all bollocks. Politics is bollocks. Religion's bollocks. Banky says all bollocks. Then you're no good for the darkness. The darkness knows that. Right, get rid of you now. But as long as you push one of them, we'll still allow you to grow and expand. What do you think about that?
Well, it makes sense. It certainly makes sense. But I would say that a lot of these people are mainstream, either news readers like Tucker Carlson or Joe Rogan was on mainstream TV. And they're easily led as well. Whether they're in the in crowd, I probably doubt. But I think they're easily led. They're easily controlled. So, and they probably don't even know. I mean, Project Mockingbird, only 5% of the people knew what was going on. So this is just another version of that. Really, but
the black screen is. The black screen is Project Mockingbird, right? It's got to be.
The Apple, the Saturnian Apple phone, for instance, those touch screens. No, I'll ask a question to people listening. Who owns the patent for those touch screens that every phone or every tablet or whatever you uses? The answer to that is no one. Surely if somebody invented a touch screen, they would have the patent on that, and they'd be lauded out as the multi-billionaire that invented the touchscreen. A lot of this technology was released by DARPA and things like that into the mainstream, just like Bill Gates's technology was given to him by IBM, which is basically another offshoot of the American government. Palantir was founded by the CIA. InQtech is the CIA's venture capitalist arm. They fund a high proportion of all these new technology businesses that come out of nowhere and end up having huge funding at some point. Facebook was part of another operation that was called LifeLog, that they closed Life Lockdown in February 2004, and Facebook was launched in February 2004 with about a day's overlap. Again, these aren't coincidences. Again, Jeff Bezos's grandfather was a director at DARPA. He was one of the first directors at DARPA. He worked for.
You mean his dad wanted a plumber?
His dad definitely wanted a plumber, as Mark Devlin says. But his grandfather worked at ARPA, which was the precursor to DARPA. And ARPANET was the first internet. They invented the first internet.
Right.
And then Jeff Bezos has got the biggest internet sales company in the world, or one of them.
I don't believe any of those men who are in control or CEOs or the ones who created it in their the garage. I don't believe any of them are actually anything other than the same as Boris Johnson or Blair.
Actors.
That's my feeling.
Actors, lifetime actors. He can tell because they don't even own the business. Bill Gates owns something like 1% of Microsoft or something. You know, the people that own Microsoft is BlackRock and all these other massive corporations. But you never get to know who's the investors.
I wonder who BlackRock is. I wonder if anybody ever finds out who owns all of this. I think it goes beyond this realm. I think it goes much. There's a spiritual connection to all of this, in my opinion.
Well, they say that about the stock market, don't they? I know, again, we're veering off into something totally different, but it's all linked. You know, whether it's this book or what we've just been discussing, it's all intertwined, you know? What I found out in this book, one of the interesting things was that John D. Rockefeller III and Boris Johnson are related. Wow. So John D. Rockefeller III, he's got a bloodline relation back to King Edward III, and they share a common ancestor going back there. So is Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson goes back to Edward III, but they also share common ancestors, you know, great-great-grandfathers. Now, would they have known that in 1964 or wherever it was when Stanley went to work directly for John D. Rockefeller III, that they were distant cousins? It happened so many times, Mark. That'd be like
it's cousins. Either a massive coincidence that this has all happened, or it's all by design.
It has to be design.
It has to be. I mean,
or it's the Matrix playing out. You know, the design is the people that have designed the Matrix, that they automatically attract each other, if you like, and either knowingly or unknowingly, because the psychopaths maybe attract people.
Or Dark Souls.
Or Dark Souls, yeah. Same thing, same thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same thing, but you could say it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, it is. It depends how you look at it. If the system wants you to look at it as a box, as a label, of course they do. But when you step out of that and you see it for what it truly is, you can see that there's a battle between Light Souls and Dark Souls.
One of Boris Johnson's advisors was a guy called Alex Crowley.
Wow.
A nephew of Aleister Crowley.
Well, you know what? Like, when you talk about like these people, and they were psychopaths, right? They were very
in their world. They're not though. In their world,
no. But the point being, right now, apparently, is it's funny how it happened with Trump when he first got elected, and you know, I all went wrong because I got wrong advisors all around me. That was the problem. And now, like some of his advisors now are literally psychopaths all around him.
Have you seen the woman?
I can blame it on all the psychopaths around me when he
oh, Mark, I need to play this video. Have you seen the woman who's his spiritual advisor?
I have no idea, but I'm just saying that my thoughts about, like, every time he uses an excuse for all the stuff he does, it's always because he was advised wrongly. And then you find out who's his advisors. It's just a fucking game. It's all a joke. It really is when you look at it. It's like a bad business joke, a bad model. Like, it's going to go bust in 2 weeks. Don't even bother. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, this is Trump's spiritual advisor, a lady by the name of Paula White.
Okay, I'll just add it.
There's an anointing of release right now. I want $100,000 to come in. I want $100,000. There are people, there are 10 people that could give $10,000. There's 100 people that could give $1,000. Get a check, make it payable to Paula White Ministry. I need you to stand. There's only 3 envelopes. I'm not moving. I'm not going to lay hands on people. So you're obedient. Get out of your seat. Come on. And come bring up a seed. Come bring up a seed. How many of you want to be a blessing? Because I'm telling you, there's an anointing of release right now. I want $100,000 to come in.
Sorry, she's repeating herself there, but that's his spiritual advisor, Paula White.
Yeah, nothing shocks me anymore with all of that. I don't know if you've noticed, but things have escalated where it's becoming more obvious that this is definitely a spiritual battle, because what we're seeing is the demons, but the evil entities, whatever they are, that they're coming out of the woodwork and they're becoming more powerful, and the acceptance is phenomenal. We're just accepting absolute evil taking place. But you know, like we're gonna bomb these people now. We're gonna flatten these people.
We're gonna decapitate them. Yeah,
the way he speaks now on social media, it's like somebody that you'd send somebody around to arrest because you know you're a little bit crazy, pal.
Yeah. Imagine having that conversation about people are getting arrested and locked up for 3 years for nowhere near what he's saying, or Netanyahu, or anybody.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But the whole Western media, is, like it was in 2020, is part of this whole operation. I mean, everybody is. Nobody sticks up for anybody in Gaza or anybody. I'm not saying there aren't bad people over there. I'm sure there are. But there's certainly, you look at that moonscape of a, it looks like the Somme in World War One. That's the last time I've seen a place like that. But yeah, anyway, I know we're talking about something totally different, but the same people that are running the shit show. Exactly. And who they put in charge of it, the Board of Peace? Tony Blair.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? Let's just bring, you know, yeah. You just can't make it up. You can't make this shit up. It's just like I said, it's all created so cleverly that they've got all bases covered so that whatever they want to do, they can do, and they're doing it. That's the thing. And everybody keeps saying, well, we're waking up to it, and like they're still spraying in the sky every day.
Yep.
Don't tell me we're winning. Don't tell me we're waking up. They still continue to do what they do, and they're causing more mayhem now than they've ever caused. But anyway, like the second chapter, I believe, is called the COVID Cabinet. Is that correct?
No, that's the hold on, let me get the bearings here. Part two, you mean? Part two.
Yeah, part two.
Yeah, part two. I basically wrote about all the members of the government who were in the government at that particular time, the cabinet, let's just say.
Was there any good ones, Dom?
There was only one person questioning that I found the lockdowns. Never questioning about what were going on or anything like that. Just didn't agree with the lockdowns.
Do you think that was deliberate? Do you think that there's almost like an element that they need that little bit of just to calm the crowd?
Well, it wasn't. I can't say calming the crowd because he wasn't really heard. What I found difficult was you can't tell me out of 600 odd people that there weren't 5%. Let's just say it's 5% of them people that were like us. Because if that is the ratio, which it roughly is, they've chosen well, haven't they? Because if all 100% are psychos, for instance,
well, my point UK being, Parliament. And you're backing it up, you're backing my point up again, that you can only get in there if you're a dark soul.
Yes, I would say so. Because even our local councillor here, round here, he was I think he was a Conservative. I think meant to be protecting everybody, and people were questioning the lockdowns and stuff like that, and he was basically just sticking up for the government narrative round here. So even him, he was chosen. The right people were chosen, or it seemed to be, at the right time. Boris Johnson, there's a chapter called Programme to be King. And basically, he used to talk when he was younger, he wanted to be world king. But what he meant was he wanted to be prime minister. Right. And you find a lot of these characters were told, it seems like they were told when they were younger, whether they were going to be prime minister or they had a chance of being prime minister. Tony Blair seemed to be another one who, there was talk of him going in to be some sort of religious leader when he was younger. And so he
wonder how many kids I wonder how many kids thought that when they were getting up, getting older. Like, no, you
want to be a footballer or a singer?
What do you want to be for a living, Johnny? I want to be prime minister. I want to be a religious leader. You know, it's all planned. You know, it's all brainwashed into them. They know what they know what they're going to do. They've been told what they're going to do to a degree. I'm sure that's correct. Makes sense. Yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Why wouldn't you? You tell them at a young age because you want them to be bred for it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, son, you're going to be a footballer, and I'm going to take you to the park every, every night, and we're going to play football till you become a champion. You know, it kind of makes sense. Like, when I think about all of this, Dom, every time I think about it, I think about when these dark souls want the power and they want to corrupt and they want to cause pain and suffering, and they get into the places of power, like the cabinets, the lords, the whips. It's almost like I see, like, they go into a room and then they get initiated. Nobody knows about it, but they get some kind of initiation. Then they realize that this is a spiritual thing. It's not a political thing. This is a spiritual thing. And you can say the same for, you know, Masons. And a lot of people say, yeah, well, no. But actually, when I've read about Masons years ago, it goes beyond 33 degrees. And then it becomes, you really, truly know what's going on. And it's a bit like most of religion. You know nothing about religion until you get to the top end of the prophets and all that. And when you get to that, then they tell you exactly what it's all about. The rest of them are just clueless, reading from scripture.
Yeah, no, they're definitely different levels. There has to be. And I think that's where a lot of the bloodline stuff comes into, because somebody's mapping it out. It just doesn't take idiots like me to do it, you know? I mean, Tony Blair's bloodline, I would, it's one of those that kept me up till 2 or 3 in the morning, because I mapped his bloodline to the pharaohs. Whether all this is true, it's all in the mainstream. When you can back it all up with all the mainstream news, whether it's true or whether it has to be true for them to believe in it, it's two different things. But let's just take it at face value that it's true. It also goes back to Noah and back to Adam and Eve, if he is related to Noah, these people. Now, that is why, when you think about Boris Johnson or Tony Blair, for instance, they can make so many mistakes. Boris Johnson lied in his first job at the Times, got sacked for plagiarism, right? From basically just making a story up as well.
Yeah.
And then got another job. I think it was at The Guardian or somewhere like that. It's like they've got these career guides that no matter how many bad things they do, their trajectory is still.
Or maybe they're good things to them. Maybe they're, that's why they're rewarded and they get medals by the Queen.
Yeah, maybe. The King. Maybe. Maybe that's it. I mean, who would have knighted Tony Blair after what he'd done? If that wasn't the case, what you just said. If it wasn't a reward, why would he have been knighted? He lied. He killed 1 million people. If it wasn't what the Matrix, New World Order, whatever you want to call it, wanted him to do. Because if we did a millimetre of what he did, we wouldn't be seeing daylight now.
Yeah. Listen, son, what you don't understand, my son, is that everything around you is back to front. So everybody, what they're doing, looking after people, helping people, doing this, that, that's all wrong, son. What you need to do is cause as much chaos and devastation, be a dirty little rotten scoundrel, and you'll be rewarded. That's kind of like how it feels, what they're told.
When you've got, let me find this headline about Tony Blair. While I'm looking, but Boris Johnson's wife, Carrie Johnson, her dad worked for the Oracle guy, Larry Ellison. He was a director at his foundation. Yeah. Larry Ellison is the biggest funder of the IDF.
Yeah.
The Israeli Defense Force.
Yeah.
He gives $50 million a year or something ridiculous to fund them to flatten Gaza.
And that's right.
Through his that Carrie Johnson's father worked for. He also with her brother worked for a defense company. What I'm trying to say is, they were working for a defense company while Boris Johnson's in power. How is that not a conflict of interests?
Of course. Oh, don't you think all of it is? Every time you listen to these stories, there's always a conflict of interest. No matter what it is, whatever the 9/11, committee. It's just like every single one is like, don't worry, guys, we've got it covered.
Yeah,
we've got it covered.
Yeah,
they've got it covered. I just wonder to myself sometimes: is it a creation of an extraterrestrial race that has created this planet and how it actually works, so that the slaves will always be slaves? And it seems that way sometimes to me.
Whatever extraterrestrial means, whether it's whatever it means, anyway.
An advanced being.
It has to be something else, or beings, different beings that end up pitting different. But if you look at humans, although we're sort of like the same, we are all of different colours and creeds and things like that. So maybe there's several different groups of these entities and that's why we end up all being at war with each other, because they know it's like a game of computer battleships. They're just off. They're just giving us. Putting somebody in a position to, like Trump, to attack someone. Or maybe it's just a big game to someone somewhere. But when you look at Tony Blair's schools, this is a headline from 2013. Pervert teacher comforted Tony Blair over poorly dad. That's a headline in the Daily Star.
Wow.
And I know the Daily Star's a cowboy. Blair's school mentor was a sex abuser.
Yeah. There's no coincidence there, is there? This is just, it sounds like a repeat pattern all the time.
Well,
mad.
Simply because the process works, they've got it down to a scientific approach, haven't they? They've got a process. They've got the whole thing. It's worked for generations, hasn't it? All they do is, like the Palantir guy, change the look. They don't wear suits anymore. They wear T-shirts and they look a bit wacky and wave their arms around a little bit like Bill Gates did. And everyone looks up to him because of these mad atter inventors. I mean, he looked like Willy Wonka. It's a dark world, Mark, sadly, whether we like to admit it or not. And all of us experience it slightly differently, but it is a dark world.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's one of the hardest. I think it's hard for us to accept that because we don't want to see it that way. I think we just want to see it as a peaceful, kind, loving world, and all around us it's becoming more chaotic, and we're seeing more darkness, we're seeing more narcissists becoming confident, we're seeing people doing the worst things and getting away with it. It's almost like they want to change this world to hell, and it seems to be happening. It seems to be like the playground, the bullies are running the playground. That's how it feels now.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So can we just go on to Blair? I don't want to finish yet because I'd like to know a little bit more about Blair. So he seems to be a character that just doesn't go away, and he keeps coming up all the time. And he seems to have some pretty big hitters behind him. He seems to have a lot of power to be able to commit genocide and get away with it and get medals, and then to be put on boards of directors of positions. It's like, who is this man, Dom? What have you found out about him?
Well, it was surrounded at school by, well, firstly, I'll go back through his father. His father was adopted by a couple in Scotland. His actual grandparents were vaudeville actors. And that's where he gets his royal genealogy from. It's crazy, yeah? So his father was a communist when he was younger. that eventually became a conservative, quite a big flip. But you find a lot of that happening as well, where they start out as communists and then end up as conservatives. It's a story all the way through. It's another one of those strange things that seems to go through. Whereas Tony Blair, when his father was communist, then Tony Blair was Labour. Oh, sorry, his father was communist, then went to Tory, and then became Tony Blair was Labour. So work that one out. Anyway.
Well, no, work it out when you realise that there is no parties.
Don't matter, does it? It's just a game.
You realise it's one club.
Shall I play? Shall I go into Star Wars or shall I play Indiana Jones? It's that role, isn't it? You're just getting two different. Exactly. Getting a different role.
Exactly.
So, Tony Blair's father was a lecturer at a university in Scotland. So, Tony Blair went to a school in Durham called Chorister School, where there was, I'll say, many abusive teachers there. And that's one of him was his father had a stroke while he was at school there. And his mother sent him back to school to be comforted by the guy that ran the school, who was a priest, who was a sex abuser. Now, whether the mother knew this or not, I don't know. But that's the story there. He was comforted while his dad was ill by a notorious sex abuser.
Wow.
That's I call chapter one the Blair Witch Project, the Beelire Witch Project, because around the time he got elected in, that there was at the Bilderberg conference, the first one he went to, where he denied going and then had to admit that he went. They made the Blair Witch film, which, again, as we know, there are very few coincidences, aren't there? So Blair's school mentor, what was it? Canon Grove, that was what he was called. So he was a priest at this school, this Chorister School in Durham. Now, there's been no mention by Tony Blair whether anything happened there. One of the other pupils was Rowan Atkinson. He was there at the same time as Tony Blair.
Interesting.
Yeah, there. Now, again, there's no story that Rowan Atkinson was abused. But it was while at Fettes College, Fettes College. That's where Nicky Campbell, the radio guy, there's been a big case going on where he spoke out about being abused. Well, that's the school that we're on about, Fettes, where Tony Blair went from 1966 to 1971. And I've counted at least four people who were. His last headmaster was accused by several boys for getting them in his bedroom, pulling the trousers down, caning them, and masturbating behind them while they were caning them.
Wow. Yeah, that happened to me, but not the masturbation. The teacher caning. Used to love to pull my pants down, right caning down. Me. Yeah.
Headlines like Tony Blair's revolting school days, and he hated that school. And it's well documented that he didn't like going there. Didn't say why. He nearly got expelled for going when he was there. But strange stories. But even Fettes College was built. It's a Masonic school. It was built by a guy Masonic. Who was high up in the in Masons. Who, So just like Ashdown House, where Boris Johnson went, that was the same. That the school Boris Johnson's Ashdown House was the prototype to the White House.
Wow.
By the same architect that designed the White House in the States.
Yeah, I think George Carlin was right. It just more sounds like a big club. It just sounds like a global big club.
I wonder if he knew what he was saying at that particular time, George Carlin, because he hit the nail right on the head with a club.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the people at his school, this is his name, sorry, it's a long name, the Very Reverend Ronald William Vernon Selby Wright. He basically worked for the intelligence services as well during World War II. He was obviously a reverend, and he was like the royal priest as well. So he was... And he ran a radio show during World War II called Radio Padre or something like that, where he was actually giving codes out, the MI-19, as it was then, asked him to give codes out to operators behind the lines. He had a 12-year-old boy moving with him when he was in his mid-20s, while he was running a church in, I think it was Edinburgh. What I'm trying to say is this, but he stayed in contact with him while he was Prime Minister. He used to, all these people seem to have followed him through his life. Yeah. And he's never commented once on this guy, Tony Blair. When he died, this is what he said about Tony Blair. I liked him very much, said the minister. He has strong principles. He came on camp with us. We had a couple of boats and a lot of walking and a lot of games, but very strict discipline. When he left Fetters, I was extremely upset.
Yeah, like you say that. Like you would say that. Yeah.
I know. He ran summer camps for this guy, did Tony Blair. But he's never once. Tam Dyell, who was 11th Baron, part of the Labour government or Labour Party, said after Wright's death, he wrote the obituary in The Independent. The trouble was the whisper, Ronnie was too fond of his boys.
Yeah.
These are the guys he was surrounded by. There's a pattern, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a common theme for sure. Yeah. And I've noticed that the military industrial complex is very close to religion as well. So the priests, the pastors in America, we're hearing about it now. They were all basically brought up with some kind of military backgrounds.
Yes.
And I think the same too in the UK and every other country. I think it's all, hide behind the cloth.
Well,
bollocks.
When Dave McGowan's book, the Laurel Canyon book, where he showed that Jim Morrison's dad was an admiral, et cetera,
yeah,
that goes back to all of these people as well. Piers Morgan's brother, I think, is a colonel or might be a general, but he's a Tony Blair's brother was Sir, I forget his full name, but he's knighted. He was a Queen's Counsel, but he ran financial. You know where the Pandora files, the offshore banking that a lot of these people used to hide the money. He was the one that basically was head of some Caribbean island that was running it, basically. But even going back, when Tony Blair was when he got into power I'll read this bit. In late 2007, Tony Blair converted from Anglican to Roman Catholic or Roman Catholicism. He was received into the church by the Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor. I think he were Irish. Then the head of Catholic Church in England and Wales. Would it surprise you, I'm guessing not, that Murphy O'Connor was at the centre of a large paedophile cover-up?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, with all of this information that you've dug up, Dom, you would think that you could present that to a police station.
I know. But he actually said there was a guy in his who was, I suppose, is it a diocese where he was working. There's a guy called Michael Hill working in a church who was accused of abusing disabled children, right, under his care. So they brushed it under the carpet and moved him to another church where there were no children going in. Didn't do anything, didn't sack him or anything like that. And when he was questioned about it, he said he forgot about it. He'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, as you do. Yeah.
It just doesn't stop, Mark. It's pretty heavy, is this book, I must say, not just from a weight
perspective. I've just started reading it, and already it's a read. I'm sure many people are going to get a lot from it, and they're going to use it as key points for a lot of podcasts.
If you look at the back, there's 100 pages of over 100 pages of source notes, and the font, we had to shrink the font down because we actually would use the same font. It was 180 pages of source notes.
I think you've got just short of 500 pages, have you? As I was looking at it,
500 for the book. There's 567 with the source notes.
Yeah, it's huge.
It was a bit overpowering because this book was going to include all the medical experts as well.
Wow.
But if I'd have carried on writing that, it might take me another 3 years to write. So, and it'd have been a huge book, so it would. I'd just write another volume.
Well, do you know what, Dom? I want to say on behalf of everybody, congratulations for doing it, because it was definitely, as far as I'm concerned, that would have been a labor of love. You know,
labor of summer.
You've done a great job, and I think a lot of people are going to benefit from this for many years to come. So I want to just say thank you for doing it on behalf of everybody who's a good soul, and I think we should all support Dom by buying this book. I certainly will buy the book in is it soft copy?
Both now. Amazon have unbought it. There's a hard copy, there's an ebook.
I'm going to buy the hard copy tomorrow, and I think I would like everybody else to, you know, please just think about it. Just if you're going to buy something this year, buy a book, buy Dom's, support him, because he's put a lot of hard work into it. I know last time we met in Spain, in Gibraltar, you were cracking on with it, and I thought, you know, it shows a lot of shows that you're a good soul, Dom. It shows that you care, because it's not the sort of thing that you write because it's something that you love writing about. It's something that, you know, is deeply important, because you want to share it with the world to say, look, take a look at this. This is the truth. And there is no truth anymore.
One thing I would say is I didn't try to put my opinions in there.
I tried to
put some humor in it, but I tried to separate opinions from. I didn't want it to read like a textbook, so it needed to have some opinion in there. But I wanted to separate them and clearly show that this is evidence of truth that's in the mainstream. So I wanted a normie to be able to read that and not go, "That's nonsense."
Exactly, and plus the fact it shows you've got no ego.
Oh no.
Because most people who write a book want to talk about themselves, so you just wrote the truth of what you've learned. That's deep dive research. So congratulations, Dom. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we go, mate? It's been great talking to you.
Well, it's been great catching up. We haven't spoken for a few months, but I'm sure we will now you've got your studio set up over there.
Could you let us know again where we can get the book from?
You can get it from Amazon if you want to buy it in Amazon. If you're in a different country, I suppose that's the easiest place to get it from. As much as I don't like dealing with them, we're all sadly part of this world, whether it's these microphones we use or the system we use it running now.
You're right.
We've got to use it against them rather than with them. But anyway, or I've got a website that I set up called traitors-2020.com.
I'm just leaving it quiet so people can write it down. Say it one more time.
Traitors-2020.com.
Cool. Brilliant, Dom. Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure, Dom. We've gone kind of all over the place, but
don't we always?
I'm hoping people find it a little bit more interesting, and sorry that we haven't fully focused on the book, but maybe you should go and buy it today. So, Dom, from the bottom of my heart and everybody else, thank you for doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Keep being amazing. And have you got anything coming up? Any live events that you want to let us know about?
Well, we've got a couple of live events. I think one of them sold out. So in May.
Well done.
We've got another one coming up in July as well. And then we're probably in London in October.
And to find you, that would be
sheepfarm.co.uk.
Sheepfarm.co.uk. So now you can find Dom there. Dom and his brother run Sheep Farm, and you must watch the podcast. They're fantastic, always entertaining, And yeah, and that's it really, mate. I'm gonna love you and leave you.
Yeah.
And thanks so much, Dom. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Bye for now. I'm ending now. Take care, everybody.